3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time once again for Exfabula Radio, part of Lake Effect Weekend, every week on WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter, glad to be back.
Yay.
Leah Delaney is here too. And the first thing we're going to do today is offer up a bunch of congratulations because you guys have just finished another slam dunk season.
Indeed, we just finished our season 9 Story Slam season, Exfabulous season. Well, actually, it hasn't necessarily ended, and we'll get to that in a little
okay.
bit.
All right.
But as far as our Story Slams are concerned, it's locked up. We're going to the All-Stars. We finished with our Last Straw Story Slam, which was held at Times Cinema last week, and it was fabuloso. And I just want to give a really quick shout out to all of the Exfabula volunteers and members and our season 9 sponsors. Northwestern Mutual, thank you so much. You guys were our season headline sponsor this season. So season's greetings, season's thank yous to everybody out there.
You had a lot of volunteers helping you along the way too. So thanks to all of them too.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, for the radio show here, we always have a theme, and I saw what the theme is, and I don't understand why it is.
Well, let me help you out with that. So, Exfabula has had the pleasure of joining forces with UW Waukesha for a storytelling workshop event inspired by the themes in the book The Roundhouse by Louise Erdich. And so this is a family-inspired book. We have a family-inspired radio show today. So we are going to have some family-themed radio stories for you today.
All right. Hence, Family Matters for the theme
yes.
today. All right.
Yeah, we're not talking about the cast of Family Matters right now. We're talking about real people in Milwaukee. So let's start it out with Mark Steidel, who originally told this story at our Risking It Story Slam in September 2016.
Okay, let's call this part two of my three-part series of my dad's death. Part one was about me and my sisters being there with him in the hospice, and the sad, beautiful moment was as he passed. Part two is the subplot that doesn't go so well. My dad had been living with his long-term girlfriend, Lynn, up in Linden Station for a few years. After selling his house and moving up there with Lynn and her kids, I had never really had a close relationship with Lynn or her children. Despite them being part of Dad's life for many years, I just could never really embrace them. We were polite, we'd meet on holidays, but I admit I was polite but distant. But when Dad went down, that all changed. Lynn and Dad and John had come down from Linden Station to do some banking down here in Waukesha, because even though Dad had lived up there for many years, stubbornly he kept his banking down here. So they had come down to run some errands, and that's when I got the call. Mark, your dad fell. We're at Waukesha Memorial Hospital. You have to come out. You're the one who has the power to make the decisions. So I rushed out there, and while we're sitting in the waiting room after making decisions to take Dad in the operating room, and they withdrew a pint and a half blood from his brain. And we're sitting there sad, wondering what's going to be happening. And John says, I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry. I said, John, you did everything you could have. And that's when I let go of that distance, that negativity that I've been holding, keeping me separate. It didn't seem to make sense anymore to make separations between my sisters and I as family and John and Lynn as a separate family. I said, no, in this, you're my brother. And it felt good to finally let that go and be done with it. But as weeks went on and Dad didn't get better and we had to make decisions about finances as well as his health care, and that was interesting too, my sister and I had to drive up to Linden Station and get, you know, Dad's sole remaining property, his truck, and bring that down. But when we went up there to try to contact John and get in touch with him, we'd call and say, John, we'd come on over. I'd like to get the truck. He he let it go to voicemail and would text back and said, let's meet at Walmart. I don't know how he put in a text, but just assume he did. So we went over to Walmart and we're waiting for him and waiting for him. He doesn't show up. So we call him again. Said, John, where are you? And again, he texts and says, the truck I left over at the gas station next door. You can pick it up there. The keys are under the seat. Okay. So we picked up the truck. John must have had, you know, lessons from borrowing cars and trucks from high school because there was no gas in the truck. So we loaded up with gas and drove it back down and dealt with that. And that's when we also learned that one of the errands, the banking that Dad had done on that last day when he was conscious, was to go to his bank and take out a $4,000 signature loan. And like I said, he has no assets. He has nothing but bills. Nothing but bills. And here's now another bill. So we tried to track that down and found the $4,000 had gone from that credit union to another credit union up in Mauston where Dad's name had been on the account. But when we arrived up there, it had been removed. Before he's even passed. He is not gone yet, and this $4,000 is there. Now, Dad took that money out for a reason, and I wasn't going to make a big deal about that. I would honor and respect that he took that money out to give to John or whoever for some reason, and I have no idea what troubles he is going through. We all have our stories. That's the point of all this. But it left me wondering and sad that I'd finally reached out to him and to at this time to bring us together, and there was nothing. There was no communication, even at Dad's memorial service when we'd called to let him know when and where this is going on. Nothing. Never heard from him again. In the 3 years since, I have no idea what John's story is or what caused him to pull away at that time after making efforts up to then. But it still leaves me sad. Happy that my sisters and I remained strong and have our family bonds, but sad for the brother that never was.
And that was Mark Steidel's story, part two of a part three series about his father's passing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to come to grips with people who are not exactly extended family, but yet kind of are. Mm-hmm. And you just, sometimes you can make contact, sometimes you don't. That's kind of a bittersweet story.
Yes, you're so right about that. Xfabula is having a few important events coming up in April before our May All-Stars happening. So just to kind of run through this really quick, all of the details are going to be at xfabula.org, but our fellowship events, we are jammed pack in April with these events. On April 17th, we're going to partner with the WCTC Fellows event. It's Embracing Cultural Diversity. On April 24th, we have a UW-Milwaukee Story Festival, a celebration of community. And then on April 25th, Tell Your Race and Equity Stories Workshop. And there's so much more going on at xfabula.org. If you'd like to come to these events, these are free. You must pre-register. You know, do your, as I call it, human homework, self-embetterment. If you haven't done so in April yet, please come to one of these classes, workshops. They're just fantastic, and you'll come out feeling liberating and feeling just a little bit stronger.
Can I borrow that? Human homework? That's a good one.
You got it. You heard it here first. But let's move it along. We have one more final story for our Family Matters radio show today. This one is from Liza Kessler, and she told this one at our Hidden Story Slam.
So when I was a kid, much like many of the other people who have told stories tonight, I did not talk about my family. And the first time I remember being told, actually, kind of to not talk about my family, was on the very first day of school in third grade. I'm from Milwaukee, as I suspect a lot of you are. And I'm a proud product of the Milwaukee public school system. And when I started third grade, was the first year that schools were desegregated here in Milwaukee. And my parents were very proud to send me on a bus to go be part of the desegregated school system. But they also knew there was going to be protesters. And we were a house that did not cross picket lines. But there were some picketers from the teachers' union who maybe didn't totally think that this desegregation plan was the best thing since sliced bread. So they said, normally we don't cross picket lines, but this time the picket line is wrong. But you go stay in the middle of the crowd when you're walking through the school. When you're walking, don't be in pictures in the front of the crossing the picket line. And you know, I kind of already knew just a little bit that my parents maybe weren't quite exactly like everybody else's parents, but I didn't totally get it because you know, you're a kid. You think that your family is pretty much like everybody else's family. By fifth grade, though, I knew. My mom, at that time, was the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, which is the head of the whole Department of Justice here in the eastern half of Wisconsin, the boss of the FBI, a presidential appointee. And I had figured out finally that maybe everybody else's family wasn't quite like that. So, you know, I get there eventually. So my mom said, we're gonna go to Washington, D.C. and we're gonna have breakfast at the White House. And you get to come with me. And we went, and it was a big deal, and it was really cool. I didn't really care for the pancakes. But then I got back, and I did not tell one single person where I had been. Shannon McNally sat next to me in fifth grade at the same little table, and while we were supposed to be taking our spelling test, she said, where'd you go? And I said, Washington. And she said, I've been to Washington. I've been to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. How do you spell scissors? And I stayed hidden like that as much as I could, like delusionally, right? Because your friends figure out about your family. They, you know, come to your house. Their parents maybe recognize your parents' names and stuff like that. My dad ran for Congress when I was in the seventh grade. It was really hard to hide that. I had to be in an ad. People watched television back then, like even with the ads, there was no fast forwarding through the ads. And it actually took until I was probably in my 20s and where I really got, like, it was awesome way to grow up. I learned so much and I'm proud of my parents. And I don't know why I had this obsession with trying to be like everybody else and just keep everything hidden and act like ours was just a normal family, because it didn't work. But now I'm happy to say my mom's here tonight. So she heard me tell that story.
And that was Liza Kessler with her fascinating parent story.
Indeed, it's kind of interesting as you find out as you grow older as a child that, you know, maybe your parents aren't like every other stereotypical Milwaukee parent group. And this, mm-hmm. And she found that out gradually, too. It's interesting. Yeah. including breakfast at the White House. So,
yep. All right. Well, that wraps up our Family Matters radio show today. I do want to recap. We have a whole bunch of those Exfabula fellowship events coming up in April. Pre-register and find everything Exfabula oriented, especially our pre-sale tickets for our All-Stars event coming up in May. Mm. The theme is awesome. It's connections.
And there is a lot going on, and you can always check in at exfabula.org. And if you want to hear today's stories once more or share them with somebody else, they are up at wuwm.com. Exfabula Radio on the air every weekend at this time, and we'll do it again next weekend, too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.